Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, he is instructing Timothy to correct the errors that are taking place in the church at Ephesus, a city and a church where Paul has sent Timothy in order to take charge of the leadership there, to take the oversight of the ministry there. And he's given very specific instructions as to what it is he is to do, because there have been some troubling tendencies that have evidenced themselves within that church. There are some dangerous diversions that are taking place. And so we read, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, this is verse 3 of chapter 1, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Let me read that verse 7, that last verse, one more time. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And so the question is, how are these dangerous diversions in the church produced? And they are produced by these teachers who are teaching wrong doctrine. Having strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, he tells us in verse 7, and those who are teaching what they don't understand, and saying things and saying things, that affirming things which they do not understand. So, in short, how are these dangerous diversions produced? They are produced by unqualified teachers who, number one, are teaching wrong doctrine, and number two, are doing it out of wrong motives. Wrong doctrine and wrong motives. The wrong doctrine is referred to again in verse 6, which is saying, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. And that takes us back to verse 5, where he talks about the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. So, having swerved aside from right doctrine, they are teaching things which are not true, which are not the Word of God. And as we saw on previous broadcast, a lot of this is just extra stuff, material which is not in the Bible, but is taught as if it were. Now you think about that a bit, and you think about the teachers you are listening to in the light of that. Are they teaching you the Bible, or are they teaching you other things that are considered to be helpful, but they are extra? They are not in the Bible. Because that's where it all begins, this straying from sound doctrine. And because many times these extra things seem to be helpful, they appear to be helpful, they are thought to be helpful, or they are extremely interesting, they satisfy our desire for something new sometimes, and are not in any way thought to be harmful. They are not thought to contradict the Word of God. They just, well, a lot of times people don't even recognize them as being something in addition to the Word of God. We saw examples of that earlier when we were dealing with verse 4 about the fables and endless genealogies and how people in that day could attach whole biographies to names in Old Testament genealogies based upon no biblical information. But it sure was interesting. You see, it's more interesting to hear something new, to hear an account of somebody's life, even if it's not in the Bible. That's more interesting, perhaps, than dealing with doctrines like justification and sanctification and some of these things that are so vital to the Christian life. But you see, people have a short attention span at times, and there is within all of us a carnal tendency to desire to be entertained rather than to be taught. When we are being entertained, somebody's telling us stories, somebody's weaving a narrative, and it's interesting. When we are being entertained, we don't have to think. And when we're being entertained, we don't have to examine our hearts. We don't have to be convicted. We don't have to deal with sin. We don't have to deal with error. We don't have to deal with changes that need to be made in our lives. We don't have to deal with duty and responsibility as much. Sometimes not at all. We can just enjoy what's happening around us and feel good. And some people even make that the main goal of church. The purpose for church is to make people feel good, so they go away encouraged and so that they want to come back. So you have to make them feel good while they're there. Well, what if the way you make them feel good is to avoid sin, avoid sound doctrine, particularly if it requires any effort on their part to understand it, or if it corrects something that they have always thought, which turns out to be wrong, and that doesn't make people comfortable. So in order to make people feel good, you're going to have to extract a lot of the teaching from the Bible out of your church services. And so what are you going to put in its place? Well, you can start out maybe by selectively choosing parts of the Bible that are only positive, but you have to be very selective to do that. You can't teach the Ten Commandments. They're pretty much negative, aren't they? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. There are a few thou shalts and a lot of thou shalt not. So you're going to have to leave those alone and so forth. You're going to have to be very selective in what you teach, which, of course, means that you are not faithfully representing God's revelation to man. God gave us His revelation in a book called the Bible, 66 books, and that contains the entire revelation that God wanted delivered to men. Are there things in the Bible that are encouraging and positive and uplifting? Of course there are. Many things. We thank God for them. Are there things in the Bible that are negative and disturbing and unsettling? Of course there are, because we're sinners. Of course there are. So the technique usually starts by being selective in your teaching of the Bible. But then, of course, the Bible doesn't perhaps provide enough material if you're only dealing with the positives. And already, if that's all you do, just deal with the positives in the Bible, leave out the negatives, you are misrepresenting God. You're misrepresenting truth. One of the most obvious examples of that is that everybody seems to believe, accept, affirm, and agree that God is love, because that has been emphasized over and over and over again. And nobody objects to that I know of. I've never heard anybody to say, well, I can't believe in a God of love. I don't like a God of love. I don't like this business about God being love. I've never heard anybody to say that. But the problem is, if you overemphasize the love of God and neglect to talk about His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His wrath. Wrath? Wrath. The Bible says a great deal about the wrath of God. In fact, I think you would find more in the Bible about the wrath of God than you would about the love of God. Isn't that interesting? You can think of a couple of verses that talk about the love of God, and there really are more. If you'll dig around, you'll find several. There's only one that tells us that God is love, and it only takes one, of course. I'm not meaning to depreciate this wonderful message that God is love. And, of course, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But that's only a very small part of the pie. If you want to have a pie chart that lists the various characteristics that God has revealed to men, what God has revealed himself as, how God has revealed himself to mankind, love is an important part of that, but it's only a small part of that. And there's so many other things. Well, most of the other things people haven't heard very much, if at all. And, of course, the human tendency is to reject the things we don't like. So we do hear things like, I couldn't believe in a God of justice, a God of wrath. I couldn't believe in a God who would send people to hell. In other words, you're going to listen to what the Bible says about God, and then you're going to pick and choose what you find acceptable, what you want to believe, kind of like a buffet. You're going to pick some things and ignore others. You'll choose some things and leave some things alone. So you like the fact that God is love, you'll take that, and then you'll ignore the other things about God that aren't quite so comforting and so easily worked into your present lifestyle and goals and ambitions, which may very well be contrary to everything that the Bible says about what your goals and ambitions ought to be and what ought to constitute your relationship with God. But if the only thing we know about God is that God is love, then of course love in our warped way of thinking will pretty much take care of everything else. If God is a God of love, then he, of course, is not going to deal with my sins. If God's a God of love, then, of course, he couldn't send anybody to hell and so forth and so on. And there you go. And what have you done? I'm just trying to illustrate that by emphasizing only certain aspects of truth and deliberately avoiding other aspects of truth, you end up misrepresenting truth. It's not as innocent as it might seem. We've got this goal. We want to help people. We want to reach people. We want to grow a church. All of these things. God certainly wants us to do all of these things, doesn't he? God approves of all of this. So this is what we're going to do. And the way to do it is to provide a church experience that people enjoy. They feel good about themselves, and they go away feeling good about themselves so that they want to return and bring others with them. So these are the goals, and our methods are going to have to comply with our goals. So if the Bible doesn't cooperate with our goals, then of course we'll have to be very selective in how we use the Bible. But you're misrepresenting God. You're misrepresenting truth. Oh, no, we are reaching people. We love people. We want to reach unchurched people. This is the way we must do it. God is pleased with this. And then it's not long before you are having to supplement your biblical material, which can only be positive, never negative, with things that aren't in the Bible, but things that, of course, are helpful. So how to do this, how to do that, how to be more successful about this, how to be more successful about that, with a great deal of psychology and maybe common sense wisdom and techniques thrown in that have nothing to do with what the Bible says. They may not be harmful, they may not be wrong, except if they are put in the place of the teaching of God's word, they lead to harm. They lead to wrong. That's what Paul is dealing with here in 1 Timothy. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Don't pay attention to things which are not the word of God. Don't listen to teachers who aren't qualified to teach you the whole counsel of God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.